live. And boy, do we have a spicy week at hand here. We've been talking a lot about several conversations.
You went Mr. Unlimited on me there.
People have called me Mr. Unlimited, and then he kind of co-opted it, Russ did. But, you know, it's okay. He can have it and Sierra.
But once he started playing well again, now all of a sudden all the Russ jokes are just thrown out the window?
No, we should make fun of him even more now, because now it doesn't feel like punching down. Now that Russ Wilson is playing good again, it's like, oh, we can punch up again without feeling like we're dancing on somebody's grave. That's how you got to do it, right?
Yeah, let's make fun of you for, check notes, marrying Sierra. Oh, yeah, life seems so miserable for him.
Yeah, and also...
And being rich and successful.
Having $400 million.
Having everything seemingly go right for him in life.
You tool.
Jeez, but
nailed that.
You're limited, though. We had those jokes.
So what's wild about this is you and I did we start the Miles conversation? Because I know
last week we were first on it, and then I even brought Mike Valeni audio to the air, our friend over there at 97.1 The Ticket in Detroit, and we got laughed at, essentially.
Yeah, and so it's been
wild taken seriously
to see now that Deshaun Watson is done for the season and likely done for all time, in Cleveland at least. It's now been wild to watch people open up Pandora's box that because Deshaun Watson, who was bad at football, not good enough at football in Cleveland to pay off the investment, because that is officially decreed as the worst trade in NFL history. Thank you, by the way, Jimmy. Appreciate that. Needed that one.
That was a different finger you're supposed to put up in the air right now.
I got a few that I can go with. Okay. But it's wild that now... Pandora's box is open and the Miles conversation is all front and center for everybody. It's I don't know what changed, because a quarterback who wasn't playing good enough got hurt and the season is over, that now all of a sudden this is a valid conversation that all segments of society, not just us reprobates, will start having. Isn't that interesting?
I'm a little surprised by it. That's why, again, we even asked Albert Breer last week. Albert Breer going to join us later on today. It's been at least a full week of us discussing Myles Garrett and his role with this team and what you do, and I guess all of a sudden now it came to a head.
Should we just ask him the same questions we asked when this thing got started a week ago?
I kind of want to be like, so last week you said when it comes to Myles Garrett, how did he phrase it? It was something like, you can't pick up the phone and make the call, but if teams call, then you go ahead and answer it in regards to Myles. It's like, well, what has changed in a week? Nothing's changed.
So... my opinion on the Miles thing has not changed, all right? But I heard something today. We're going to play it right now. And we're going to play in a, I should say, we're going to play in a second. Easy there, Kayla. She's getting ready. She's ready to fire.
You did tee her up.
That's right, because I said, we're going to play it right now. That's on me. That's on me, dog. I can be more specific. But we've just reached a point. Let's just call everything what it is, and let's just be real honest about where we are and what this is and what this isn't. And I feel as if listening to people talk about the Miles situation, that we're trying to turn this into Joe Thomas 2.0, where we start to apply this method of sad bastardism to Myles Garrett because he hadn't won a Super Bowl yet.
And well, why did we go Southern on it?
I don't know. Probably because of the clip we're about to play, where there's always a weird kind of Southern tinge to Ken. And I don't know. He's from Stark County. It's not the South.
Okay.
All right? You're not from Zanesville. I take it back, though. It's great. But I heard something today that to me represents the least genuine part of the should you trade a good player conversation. And let's go away with that now.
If Miles wants to stay a Cleveland Brown forever, I would love for him to be a Cleveland Brown forever. He means something to the franchise, to the area. He's invested in the Cavs. We went over all this last week. And I said, if a team were to call up, like if Detroit were to call up after the Aiden Hutchinson injury, and they go, you know what? Damn it, we're desperate. We'll give you two ones for him. I would pull Miles in, ask him if this is something he's amenable to. And if he wasn't, we don't do it. You want to finish your career with the Browns? You go right on ahead.
Boy, that's interesting. You'd have the conviction to even have the conversation.
I would try to do right by the player because he means that much to the fans.
This is the NFL, not Vietnam. Like, what are we doing? I want to do right by Myles Garrett. And Miles, this 1-6 will not stand. Like, what are we doing here? And listen, in fairness, this is not, I'm not trying to doubt the that Ken is being genuine in the sentiment about Myles Garrett.
Okay.
But this line of thinking that in the NFL, teams do right by players, and that this is, hey, we wanted to trade you to this team because we want to do right by you. No,
yeah.
No. They gave you picks. You were done with the player. This idea, this idea of altruism is ridiculous.
I know, but the Browns have displayed some sense of this in the past, though, and maybe this is what Ken is leeching onto, right? Like, you give Nick Chubb the contract, and Nick Chubb in the Players Tribune says it's because they couldn't do that to the fans, and then Bill Callahan goes to Tennessee and gets to coach under his son, and it's like, well, why'd you give up a great opportunity for yourself to go ahead and make somebody else's dreams come true? And it's like, well, but the part that has always befuddled me, Nick, is the idea that they do it with some players, and then with other players, they just completely ignore that.
I just love the idea.
So is Miles on their side that they would help out, or is he on the other side of people like Amari Cooper that they just don't seem to care about when it comes to those type of things?
I just love the idea of doing right by a player. He's making money. This is not indentured servitude. This is not like, hey, Miles, you're a Greek god. We've given you every opportunity. We've surrounded you by talent constantly, and we're giving you $25 million a year. And by the way, 2 years from now, we're probably going to give you $35 million a year. Like, this isn't like a war. This isn't the end of Saving Private Ryan.
Right. It should be whatever is in their best interest, and that's all that matters.
Well, but no, the point is, Myles Garrett, having him here makes it easier to win in the future. And Miles isn't at the end of his career. Like, I can kind of understand that. I can kind of understand the idea of Joe Bitonio. These might be the last 8 games of his career. I kind of understand the, hey, Joel, somebody called us. They've offered us a 3rd rounder for it. That value meets what we need. If you want to stay, you can stay, and we finish out your career here. If not, you can go. Miles is 29 years old. He was a defensive player last year, and we act like he's a mule that we're about to put out to pasture. Like, this isn't the end of Saving Private Ryan. Miles, you're going to go to Detroit, and you're going to go win that Super Bowl. And 50 years from now, when you're sitting on the front porch, you tell him Nick Wilson said, I love you, Miles.
All right, let me put it this way, though. Is it because they know Miles? They know if they don't do right by Miles, Miles has a way of, we talked about culture a lot in the 3 o'clock hour. If Miles is unhappy and doesn't want to be here, Miles can make everybody's life a living hell, and you know that.
JOK, you're an all pro in my book. We just traded you to San Francisco. Here we got a 7th round pick for you. You go do well. You go play good football because we want to do right by you, JOK. You know what we're going to do? We're going to pay Denzel to sit at home for the next 4 years, the rest of his contract. Pay every cent that he's owed.
Okay.
We're going to do it. Denzel, you don't have to play football anymore, even if you want to.
I get what you're saying. It's not a charity. No. There's nothing altruistic happening here.
No.
I get it.
Until when your grandkids, when you're 60 years from now,
yeah.
Grandpa, why can I go to school on an all-inclusive package, going to college, not have to pay a dime?
You're doing an all-inclusive university package now?
You're telling her,
like, it's a cruise ship?
It's because Nick Wilson said you can stay at home because I'm going to do right by you.
Get the unlimited drink package,
like,
too?
What are we doing here? Like, seriously. Like, this, because what it is it's all this just line up. Guys, they're 1-6. Last year, they were 11. This is no way even close to the Joe Thomas thing. Joe Thomas, like, played every single snap, said everything, basically lied for the organization for 10 years when he knew that every single coach and every single thing was in there was fugazi,
mm-hmm.
right? And then at the very end, right, you were marching him towards 0-16.
And he got a chance to be traded to Denver, and he said no, and he passed on it.
Yeah. He had one winning
season.
And then
Denver won the Super Bowl.
One winning season in 11, never went to the playoffs. And Miles was in the playoffs last year, has a playoff win. By the Miles,
but he's got all playoff win. It's not like he's got a million of them stacked to the ceiling here.
But this isn't that's not where we are. This whole thing of I just want to do right by Miles, then go back and win games. Then get your head out of your ass. Stop being stubborn. Stop being onerous to your process. Bring good football players in and don't waste more years. Like, listen,
right, the easiest answer is to win. I don't think anyone is disputing that. The easiest answer is for the Browns to tell Myles Garrett, we're going to win next year. This thing isn't going to take forever. Bear with us. We're 1-6. This season's going to stink, but we're going to get there. I just don't know that it's that easy.
Yeah, well, no. But see, the point is we're making it harder than it is. We're making being a functional organization, that's the word of the day, I guess. But like, no, this is not, guys, Miles is 29, or he's going to be 29 by the end of this year. And that is not incredibly old. It's not incredibly young.
Right.
And I, if you say, well, okay, Miles' injuries, would it make sense to get out in front of this? Okay, now we're talking in logic.
He's still young enough to be in Francisco Lindor, Manny Ramirez territory, where he goes and plays for another team, and that's what he's remembered as.
Yeah, but, well, and I think that's the point. Like, this idea of, we got to do right by Miles. Then if you want to do right by him, stop wasting his time here. Stop coming up with reasons, because what it is we're protecting ourselves, right? We're protecting ourselves to go ahead and say, well, you know what? I don't think we can win. I don't think we can do it. So you know what? Let's go ahead and get preemptive about this. Yeah, Miles might actually prefer to play somewhere else. I don't know. And if he comes and says that, it's the NFL. There's not a lot you can do. But we got to stop acting.
David Njoku did ask for a trade, and we just said no.
But this is not some historically inept situation he's been in. They were 11 wins last year. Their low water mark the last 4 years has been 7 or 8 wins. That's not where you want to be. But you're also not where you were 8 years ago. So the idea that Miles is crestfallen, no, he's got money. Miles is doing quite well for himself. Yeah,
he'll be fine. It's just at some point, does Miles turn around and say, I want more for my football legacy?
Yeah, okay, but that's a Miles decision. This idea of...
Well, I think that's all Ken is asking, right? Like, if Miles comes to the table and says, listen, I want to go chase a Super Bowl. You guys haven't gotten it done. I've given you 8 years. I've done the best I can. Get me out of here. What do you do?
We're talking about who generates the conversation and how you handle it. Teams, and I'm going to tell you right now, if the Browns don't think Miles is going to be healthy 3 years from now when they might be good again, then
okay,
they're
but
going
what do
to trade
you do?
Him.
What do you do if Miles comes to you and makes that same request that Njoku did a couple years ago? Do you answer that request, or do you just say, sorry, you're going to play for my football team as I get ready to try to figure this whole thing
you
out?
You do the thing you haven't had the stones to do when players have done that previously. I'm thinking more of Baker. You make it work. Marriage is hard. Giving up is easy. So... stop making excuses for your own futility. Figure it out. And let's stop acting like this is some... Guys...
Okay, because Miles in the past has shown us that he can get real interesting in a locker room if he's not happy.
Okay.
Bus toss Joe Woods times in the season.
That's another fake thing.
He can do that, though.
But yeah, then lead your way out. It is not... leadership is not that hard. It is an active choice. And if you say it's a player's locker room and the players aren't leading well, then find somebody who will lead. Like
might be part of the problem. You said it yourself. We have a culture issue right now. Well, all right, let's look at the head of the snake.
Yeah, well, which one?
Part of that, yeah. But part of that is the idea that Miles Garrett's been your best player for years now. And how many years have you and I been here talking about the idea that we have culture problems?
See, but again, when it comes to the trade of Miles, there's the valid conversation, which is he ready? Are we ready? Are we better off without Miles? How can we be better if what we get for Miles? Those are valid football conversations. The, I just want to do right by Miles. What does that even mean? Like, no.
Yeah, I'm not making that case.
The best thing for the Cleveland Browns is to win football games. The best thing for Miles is to not tax his body in a lost season, and then go out and put a team around him worthy of his talents. But this idea, Miles, is he forlorn? Is he a Civil War general? Do I need to swaddle Miles? Do we need to like save space? Do we need to go ahead and protect him from like sharp edges? Like what are we doing here? Like this idea, when these are the conversations you have at the end of somebody's career, not the middle of them.
Yeah.
And if Miles comes to you, the conversation changes.
But he might never be as valuable as he is right now, though, if you think about it.
See, that's the problem. We're thinking of things like...
because the bonus money and how it's been structured. Like, he's going to be so cheap for another team, and he is coming off a Defensive Player of the Year award. Like, yeah, I don't know that he's as valuable as he ever is right now in this moment.
There is a time and place where value is absolutely the right conversation. When a guy is in the pinnacle of his career, when the guy is one of the 5 best edge rushers, you don't trade those guys, right? Ask the Raiders how well it's gone since they traded Khalil Mack. Ask anybody. You like this concept of, we want to be ahead of it. No, some players you're right into the dirt. That's just how it is. Some players you have until they don't want to be here anymore or until they have no good football left.
Yeah, and I'm thinking about Jason Kelce in this because we talked about the Eagles, right, where the Eagles won a Super Bowl and then basically tore it all down and then got Jalen Hurts and Smith and Brown and all these guys and then ended up in the Super Bowl within 5 years. And there were some players like Jason Kelce, for instance, that were untouchable. And I know Jason Kelce isn't Myles Garrett, but the man is a first ballot Hall of Famer and might be the best center to ever play the position. Like, there are certain people that are untouchable. I feel like you think Myles Garrett's in that category.
Myles, I don't think we can go on for the rest of the season. So
I'm thinking of the Captain Andrew Luck Twitter account that used to exist.
We're going to send you off to San Francisco. You're going to love it real good. And when you're an old man living out your days and your grandkids say, "Grandpa, how'd you get here?" You tell him Nick Wilson said it. You tell him Nick Wilson made this happen.
Yeah.
And Nick Wilson thought about what's best for Myles Garrett.
Yeah, yeah.
You tell him Nick Wilson said it.
Nick Wilson also made sure that you stayed with the Browns through a rebuild and then 5 years later didn't win anything.
Oh my God.
Oh, no. What happened?
What is win anything?
What happened?
What is win anything?
I don't know. You tell me. But if he gets traded to Detroit, he's got a chance to play in the Super Bowl this year, potentially.
Why do I care about that?
Myles cares about that. That's the point.
Yes, but he clearly doesn't care about it because he hasn't asked for a trade.
Myles isn't happy. We don't know that he is or isn't. But if Myles isn't happy, he's going to make it. He's going to make everyone's life just miserable around there.
When did it become my emotional payload to start thinking about how I can get Myles a Super Bowl ring somewhere else? It's not. Full stop. And it's not the Browns either.
But if you're a GM, yes. If you're a GM, you have to think about all the equations attached to this. Yes,
hey,
you do.
Myles, it's Andrew Berry. Listen, you're the best player we've had in franchise history, not named Joe Thomas, in the last 25 years. But I just want to see you hoist that Lombardi somewhere
else. If Myles is happy being here, then great. Then everything's copacetic and it's awesome. But we don't know that. We don't have no idea what Myles is or isn't right now.
But that's not the conversation. We are assuming things. We are assuming a lot of things.
You're assuming he's happy.
And no. I'm assuming nothing. Like, I'm assuming Myles likes the contract that he has, that Myles has not. I mean, I'm assuming that this is not the worst situation that anyone's ever been in.
It's not an assumption to tell you that Myles Garrett, in the past, when things have gone not right, has been very vocal about how not right it's going.
Yes, and that's not the same thing as you need to offload him at the quickest moment because we got to think about his mental health.
Does he have that in him to go through what would be, if it's a retooling, if it's a mini rebuild, whatever you want to call it, the next couple years, where we're probably not going to be very good at football, Nick?
Myles! Myles!
Now what
please
are you
doing? Go on, Myles. Go win that Super Bowl for Cleveland in Detroit.
The Civil War person gets older and older with each time you do it.
Just so disingenuous.
You're on the Titanic right there.
216. I'm actually doing Randy Marsh. Stan! 216-474-0092. Should the Browns do right by Myles Garrett?
Thoughts? Movie trailer voice.
Thoughts and Prayers Radio, 92.3 The Fan. Albert Breer coming up in 60 minutes. We will ask the Myles Garrett question. Should they do right by him? Let's just get into it. And anybody else? Good seventh rounder for Denzel Ward if you want him. Because we just want to do right by him. But you guys can start your game day with Earl the Pearl from 7 to 9. And then catch the Fan Bud Light Tailgate Show with Jonathan Peterler and Spencer German starting at 9 a.m. through kickoff at 1 p.m. Daryl Ryder joins us for the latest from the stadium. Make the Fan Bud Light Tailgate Show part of your game day routine on the radio home of the Cleveland Browns. 92.3 The Fan, presented by Valley Automotive Group, the Buckeye Law Group, and Sal's Heating and Cooling, Plumbing and Sewer. Get details at 92.3thefan.com. So you and I actually agree. The Myles conversations are conversations that have to happen in the room. When you are where the Browns are, it makes sense to say, hey, if somebody calls, is there a Godfather offer?
Yes.
What is interesting to me is my answer has not changed. I don't know if yours has. The answer is no. Myles Garrett's a Cleveland Brown, and until Myles Garrett comes to me specifically and says, I don't want to be here anymore, then I have no reason to offload the best player for this team, who probably will be the best player for the next 4 years.
I think there is a Godfather offer that I would be comfortable going with. I don't think the Browns are going to go that route, though. Like, if you made me bet whether or not I think Myles Garrett will be traded, I would bet on no being that answer. And I think I'm basing a lot of this off of what happened with Nick Chubb and the fact that they gave Nick Chubb a deal and they've reworked that in order to have him still be here. I think the front office, I think they care about the relationship with fans. I also think Andrew Berry knows if you're the guy that trades Myles Garrett, if he then gets canned at the end of the season, more people are going to remember that more than they remember anything that he did here. And I think there's just a lot to it. It's very political almost.
So I actually will. So it's not that I don't want to paint Barry and Stefanski and Dee Podesta as craven or anything like that. I think this organization is really good at making their decision and then spinning a PR narrative that fits within their wheelhouse.
For sure. Well, so, that's everyone, right?
Like, I don't doubt that they went to Nick Chubb's agent and said, we want Nick back because we can't let this go down like that. But when it comes to the first decision that always comes back is, do you think that the Browns will be better off for what they get for Myles Garrett than having Myles Garrett on? That will always be the thing that drives this. And this idea that they're like...
I see what you're saying. It's like almost like splitting aces at that point. You're like, oh, well, if I get two draft picks, I'm hoping that one of the two potentially become anything close to what Myles Garrett could become.
And I'll just be honest with you. Like, people have thrown out the two first-rounder things to me.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, we're going to use the reverse logic on this of the Deshaun trade, which is those picks don't hurt nearly as much as if you're in the picking 25th, 26th, 27th, or 32nd as when they were picking 13th. One of the picks, I think, was the 10th pick. They did trade one of the picks up for the third pick in the draft for Will Anderson.
Yeah.
Like, I don't see – the frame of reference I'll actually use is Jalen Ramsey. The Jaguars traded Ramsey to the Rams for two first-rounders.
And then he got traded again for two first-rounders.
Yeah, which that one I didn't understand.
Multiple times.
I understood the first one. I understand the second trade. But the players that Jacksonville got back for Ramsey do not in any way – and none of – not by the way, both of them were busts. So look at that optics. But then the other thing is – even if the 20th best player, two of the 20th best players in a draft aren't as good as the number one defensive player in football.
Mm-hmm.
So the value, like, if we start with the Godfather offer, two first round picks isn't it. At some point, it feels like you're doing a charity case for somebody that isn't the Cleveland Browns.
You'd be cost controlled with your picks, though. I think that part of the equation does help. So then you can give that money to somebody else, and you can go ahead and you can move. Which I don't think is the biggest deal for the Browns, because the Browns have the money faucet turned on. We have, and I am curious about that. I don't know if Haslam is going to continue to spend at the same rate that he's been spending.
He spent before. Like, people forget when they were 0-16, he was spending.
He was 27th in the league. I looked it up the other day.
Well, no. But the actual money, because remember, there's the cap number and how much you spend of the cap, and then there's the money above that, which factors in everything from, like...
He was spending in interesting ways. He was, like, doing the Brock Osweiler thing. Like, he was finding interesting ways to do it. He wasn't cheap, let's put it that way. But it was nowhere close to what we've seen over the previous couple years. And I thought the previous couple years, Nick, was based off of him wanting to be right about Deshaun. And I don't know now that he's wrong about Deshaun. I don't know if he's going to change or if he's going to go even more aggressive to try to make the Deshaun thing not his legacy to really bring the Browns a winner.
So whether it's Miles, whether it's Denzel, whether it's JOK... Whoever I think is the core pieces of this team.
You're going to have to give Miles a new contract, I would imagine, at the end of this season if you don't trade him.
Yeah, and I don't know why that's a hindrance. No,
it's top of the money market, though. Or yeah. Top of the market money, though.
I don't care.
Which I'm fine with, but again, these are the conversations.
Like, well, but I think, like, even that, like, oh, we don't want to pay Miles top of the money. Were you just bored with 15 sacks a year?
No, it's not that. It's just the idea that if you trade for two first-round picks, then you're on rookie deals with both those picks. It's a little bit different.
Man, I'm just so sick of the concept of value. Because here's the problem. This concept of value, which drives everything to the very, very smart people, I understand that there are real reasons to look at value. But those two, when we just talk about those players, even if we factor in the money side of this, they won't be as good as Miles. Everything that you're going to be doing, whether you have the number one pick, the number five pick, you're just going to keep trying to find more guys like Miles.
Yeah, Miles Garrett's don't grow on trees.
And I just think you've, like, smart organizations understand the Rams. They'll trade two picks every 2 years for a player that is proven that will perform for them, and then they'll have them for 4 or 5 years, and then they'll do it again with another player and another player, and they just continue. Why? And why do they keep winning? I know this year they're going to be selling off Cooper Kupp, but why do they keep winning? They draft well, and they exploit teams who are drunk
well
on things like value.
The key part of that, though, and I don't know that we draft particularly well.
I mean, the Jalen Ramsey trade was a wild success. The Matthew Stafford trade was a wild success.
I'm saying they draft well. They know what they're doing.
Yeah, but those moves are the difference makers. Drafting well enough allows you to
raise your
floor.
The Chiefs' defense right now is what it is because they drafted so well.
Well, no, yeah, but the Chiefs don't do what what maybe the Rams are doing and what great, like, when you see players that you can add and it's a great player, a difference maker, you just do that. And you don't subtract them. Dumb teams. Jacksonville has done this. Jacksonville is the other.
Chiefs did do that with Tyreek Hill. They subtracted.
You had Pat Mahomes. It's not a one for one there.
No, but like, I mean, but you were talking about great players though, and I'm just trying to follow your logic here.
So the logic is,
I think your logic is always keep your great players for as long as you can keep them.
When you have elite players at, let's say, the most important positions, which I find to not, a wide receiver is. But it's negated when you have a Pat Mahomes, but whether it's edge rusher, elite shutdown corners, elite wide receivers, if you don't
I think when you enter a different state though, Nick, I think when you enter a different, like the Rams were still competitive, the Rams were still going for it. Like I look more at like the Raiders, for instance, trading Devontae Adams, probably trading Max Crosby.
So Devontae Adams and Miles Garrett are the same guy?
Devontae Adams was a top five wide receiver in the league for the previous 3 years up until this last season.
Who has mattered more to wins and losses in the last decade?
He's a top five in his position. There's no debating that. Devontae Adams is awesome at football. Please don't make Devontae Adams stink. And Max Crosby, by the way.
No, that's not what we're doing. We're
potentially
saying
on the line there. Like what they're doing is they're just entering a different stage of how they go about football. They're entering it's not great.
So losing.
Yeah. Well, yeah, you're in essentially a tank is what you'd be doing. If you enter that state with Myles Garrett, what you're telling everyone is we are going through the process of a tank. We're going to get a quarterback and we're going to set this whole thing up. And we're going to do it with draft picks and we're going to go. It's going to take a long time.
So
it's going to take a long time if that happens. It doesn't take forever, but it's going to be a while.
Yeah, and you don't have to. That's the thing we have to remember here. When you have a core that is still young enough where you can see them on the other side still being here, you don't have to do this. You'll be choosing it. And if you choose to trade, and listen, I think with Miles, it's so much harder of a conversation because people don't feel the way about Miles that they do about Nick Chubb.
I agree with that. He's never been as beloved in this city as Nick Chubb. He's never been as beloved as Joe Thomas even. Like, he's not looked at in the same way as those guys.
And some of that is Miles.
He's liked, he's not beloved.
Some of that is Miles' own doing. Some of that is how Miles has conducted himself. I don't think calling out the fans and calling Deshaun Watson a model citizen, by the way, is helping anyone. But I think what happens when your team loses, the worst thing that happens in sports is your team didn't meet expectations. In the NFL specifically, the first thing we go to is burn it down. I'll be honest with you. If Pittsburgh cratered right now, they're not going to trade TJ Watt. If I'm trying to think of other teams, like the teams that are doing this are consistently the dumbass teams. It's the Raiders. It's the Jaguars. It's teams I don't want to be about. Like Tyreek Williams is, bit of a head case. I don't want to pay him.
I think if you go through a tank, you have to really have a conversation with Miles because Miles has not shown us he doesn't handle losing very well. And I think you got to really find out from him. And this is answers we don't have, Nick. But you got to really find out from him. Is he comfortable being in a losing setting for a couple years as they figure this thing out?
But again, you're assuming
he's not done that well.
So there's the intention of we're actively trying to lose, and then there's the we're trying to rebuild or retool or however you want to face it. Those aren't the same things. You're not going into next year saying I hope we lose.
No,
going
into next year, you hope we lose. But if you trade Myles Garrett, you're going to have to start this thing. It's going to take a long time. This is not it's not a quick, easy thing.
Then don't trade.
But the reality of what happened over this past weekend and now where we're at 1-6, like this is not great, guys.
Yeah, and it's also not as bad as maybe the situation. Like, understand the unique circumstances that led you to 1-6, and don't turn it into a gaping hole on the side of the Titanic that sinks the whole thing. That's perspective. That is, and Miles is a huge part of that. Miles is part of your salvation. And I'm talking about him being on the field. You cannot sell me any world in which you're a better team long-term because you traded Myles Garrett just because, well, it feels better because we did something. And I'm not saying you're saying that, but this idea of value and tanking and none of that crap works. Miami tanked for 5 years. How much closer are they to a Super Bowl? They're not. Tanking, I'm sorry, I'm out on it. Done it, didn't work. Everybody that does it, it doesn't work. Jacksonville tanked for an all-time quarterback, and they're right back to having a fire quarterback because they don't have culture. Fix the culture. Let Miles be part of that.
What if Miles is part of the problem with the culture?
Well, again, a good leader, and again, this is where
he's not displayed being a good leader often. It's happened in spurts, but he is.
I think that's wildly unfair to Miles. Miles
got 2 years ago leading the campaign that Miles was a problem on this team.
Miles has not been perfect.
Okay.
But there's a difference between you're not perfect or you're a little immature and you're a part of the problem.
Is he better than that now?
No, he's still Miles Garrett. But that there's
well,
some. That
what if you're building a new culture and you look around and say, maybe we don't need to deal with that?
God, man, you're just talking yourself into it.
Maybe
you just are.
But you're just talking yourself into it. Because it's a good point?
No. Because you've made the decision that you think it makes sense to trade him, and nothing said to the opposite is going to get you where you need to go.
I think this goes both ways, though.
I think this is confirmation bias. 100%. 100% confirmation bias that they have no business trading Miles, and they will lose a fan of 39 years if they trade Miles.
You're gone?
I'm so gone.
You're gone if they trade Miles?
Yes, this is right up there.
And I don't think they're going to do it, but that would be enough for you?
This is trading 28-20. I'm so sick of it.
You're in defense of Miles Garrett being on this team?
Am I wrong? Is he the greatest defensive player you've had in 50 years?
I'm just surprised you're going that hard on the mat. Like, what are you going to become, like a Bucks fan? Like, how is this going to work?
No, I'm just not going to be a Browns fan. If you trade 95, I'm out. I don't know why that's that hot of a take.
That's very hot of a take.
216.
I didn't know there was anything that could get you to leave a
this
fandom.
This is it. You do not trade future Hall of Famers by fetishizing draft picks. I'm just so over. You could get a couple first rounders. Like, it's like cocaine. Just more first rounders. Ooh, can I get a seventh rounder too? Ooh, just one more bump will get me through to the next mock draft. Like, put the coke down, go to rehab, make your amends, and go win some freaking football games. I almost said something else there.
I almost cussed.
Have your opinions on trading Miles Garrett made any different? Are they made any different by what happened over the weekend? More to come. 92.3 The Fan. I think we just summed up what the show has been today.
Yeah,
it is the For You section of Twitter,
which is a lot of fun to play in sometimes. Also, it's real dicey.
Yeah, so
it's real dicey.
I think that's the best way. You got me on it. Like, I think it was like, was it 2 weeks ago? You're like, you ever just wandered over there and just kind of see how they live?
I think it's the better version.
And then
it's also very problematic.
It's pure dopamine. It's like too much. Like, by the end of it, it's kind of like analytic folks with first round picks for elite Hall of Fame players. It's like you're just looking for that next bump. Like, you're like, how can I get... I mean, I just need a little taste. If I just get a little taste, I'll be all right again. And you go, and you're like every movie about drugs, where there's the cocaine thing. Where in every movie, the depiction is they do the thing, and then they put their face up to the sky. I don't know when that became synonymous with that specific thing. But it's like. That's what For You is like, and that's what today's show has been like.
Yeah, and then all of a sudden you're on the following section, and you think, okay, I'm going to play it straight. I'm going to be good for a little bit, and then it bumps you over there, and you don't even know.
I can quit anytime I want to.
And then you see some you know very very sketchy things, and all of a sudden you're like, oh, how did I get back here?
And then we're calling each other, hey, you want to just one together? Like it gets real dicey real quick.
And before you know it, one of us is denouncing their fandom if they trade Miles Garrett.
I don't think that's a hot take. How is Miles not there?
That was spicy, man.
Why do you think it's a hot take? Because I'm curious about it.
I think you put more on the line than just about any other take you can possibly have. Like, you can say bring on the Yankees and all these other things.
Bring on the Tigers. I was right about that
one. Yeah, well, you can do all those things. That's fine. You'll still live and be all right. But denouncing your Browns fandom while being the afternoon host of a Cleveland radio show seems like that one might be a little tough.
No, because I can still. I mean, I was in Charlotte for 4 years of a team that I wasn't a fan of. I can just be neutral. I mean, meaning I can just judge them off their merits instead of my own personal fandom.
Okay, I think it'll be harder for you.
Come on,
you love being a fan. Come on.
I love being a Browns fan, but you have to have a line in the sand, right? You've got. I mean, there have to be some things that are sacrosanct.
I don't know. We've gone through a lot in the previous 8 years, and I've seen people tell me that they're leaving, and then everyone just comes back.
But not your boy Nicky Dubs.
No, you've never done this. That's what makes the gravity of it so large.
Yes, and you've also my own inertia.
You've never come close to threatening this type of thing, though.
No, but that's.
And I think you're safe, by the way. I don't think they're going to trade him. I think you're pretty safe, but. We never know how this goes.
But I think, like, I have to find a way to make people understand. And again, it becomes different if Miles generates the conversation himself. Because I'm willing to do cost of business with Miles. That means paying him more money. That means disagreeing with him when he says things that I don't like or disagree with. I'm totally okay with that. That's a family. That's what you do. Yeah, you know how many fights I have a year with people I love or disagreements?
I've been talking about the culture problem in the Wilson household forever.
And just the entire family in general.
I mean, just forever.
And it starts with me. I'm basically the Miles Garrett of my own family.
The head of the snake.
People have been saying that for a while, just on the For You page. But no, I mean, I think like if I know that Miles is different than Nick because they go about things differently.
Mm-hmm.
But if we just get into where we're just starting to send off guys because, well, it's inconvenient or the pressure of losing or you talk yourself into it, like because it's not just the Miles thing. It is the Miles thing after the Deshaun thing. Like at some point, if you just do all these dumb self-destructive things, I can't keep doing it.
Yeah, I do wonder, though, and this is a very tiny percent chance, but I do wonder how much they just want to disassociate themselves from everything that has been the Deshaun Watson era and everything that's been the Deshaun and Baker era, for instance. And
They did it to themselves.
No, I know, but what I mean by that is in trading Miles Garrett, for instance, or trading some of the pieces that have been around for a while, you start to set a new identity and you start to build a new culture and you do all these things with new and different players.
If you just say new enough, eventually... Really
that's
smart
the selling
people.
Point. That is the selling point here, guys. The really idea would be new.
Yeah.
Different.
Different.
Not what we've seen.
Not improved, but different. The 5 at 5 next on 92.3 The Fan.